When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
We the ish girls. I got Jenny and Lindsay and this bitch girl. Make you move your hips while sipping gin, girl. Make you bounce your tits like it's a jig, girl. Like boom, sip kombucha for your womb. Hanestein squad link up, it's like boom. The girls be giving you vibes. Tune it, chill out, and feel good inside. Like ish girls.
Hey, hey girls. Hey, Lily. Welcome back to another episode of Big Girls Podcast.
From two favorite bitches, I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Jenny. Girls, listen up, turn your volume up to 100 because we have a massive announcement that we're so delighted to make.
We're very, very excited.
This spring,
It Girls are going on tour.
We are freaking buzzing for this. We are officially going to enter into our third year doing It Girls, which is insane.
And we're going to have a little party bus tour around Irlande.
Erin Roderin tour. So we are going to be visiting on request. This is why we put the polls up. Mm-hmm. Listen up, get your pen out. We are playing Galway Town Hall, Sunday the 31st of March. Limerick in Dolans, Friday the 5th of April. Cork in Cypress Avenue, Friday the 26th of April. And we're rounding it all off back in Dublin City in Liberty Hall Theatre on Saturday the 18th of May. So we made sure that these dates are on a weekend for you girls. We know As you asked. The Galway one's on a Sunday, but sure, fuck it, look, girlies.
Sunday fun day, am I right, girlies?
Exactly, Sunday fun day. But I know that some of the other ones are, they could be around exam time, but we got them on a weekend for you girls. So go and write that down in your diary. Tell all your girlfriends and keep an eye on our social media this week for when tickets are on sale. These are small venues. We sold out two nights in Dublin on a Tuesday and a Wednesday. These are probably going to sell out around the country.
Yeah, so don't sleep on this shit. If you want to come, get your ticket sooner rather than later because we don't want to miss you.
Exactly. And if you are one of those people messaging us being like, when are you coming? This is why we're coming down to you, girlies. So, you know, we want to be shown a good time in Limerick, Galway and Cork.
Totally.
We are dying for it so much.
So grab your girlies. Like say in the Dublin shows, a lot of people came who were huge big fans of the podcast and they just brought their bezzy mates who maybe were not fans. You don't need to be a listener at all of the podcast.
Yeah.
It's completely just a space that you can come in and totally be. It's a comedian kind of stand-up show.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be funny. It's going to be
there's no
fun.
Catching up.
It's going to be funny and fun, girlies.
Funny, fun girl time.
But listen up. As I said, keep an eye on our Instagram. That is where we're going to be announcing when tickets are on sale. But it is going to be this week. We're just waiting on final confirmation. But in the meantime, spread the word high and low.
Grab your girlos, grab your gays, grab your fella, grab your granny to come to our show.
And for our Dublin girlies, this is going to be, we're bringing the show we did in the Sugar Club on tour down the country, but the Dublin show is going to be new because we obviously did that set, so we're going to have
some fresh new material. So we're going to ride it on the road.
Yeah, we're going to be bringing our, you know, our tales from tour, all the rest. We don't know the exact show yet, but it's going to be gas. But if you did come to the one in Sugar Club, don't worry, it's not going to be the same thing. It's going to be a different show, but the same vibe.
The same vibe of fun and fucking shit up.
Yeah, so we are delighted about that. Thank you to everyone who has listened from the start, and thank you to everyone who is, if it's your first episode that you heard.
Yeah, you're all welcome. This is a safe space for bitches.
Yeah.
So
we are, I can't believe it's like, this is going into our third year.
It's crazy. But it does feel like, I mean, it feels like years ago when we were first in your living room.
And I feel like a very different person.
Am I? I bloody hope I am.
Well, I don't know. I just know I feel that. Yeah. I feel like I feel like I'm in a very different place in life. And I feel,
I guess I am. Yeah, I guess I am.
Yeah. Like you were still with Jimmy.
Yeah.
So much has changed. Like, I mean, it was a different, universe. So thank you to everyone who's been with us from the start.
I'm not more free. Fuck that shit.
Yeah. Keep an eye out, and thank you all for your support, because it's your support that gives Aiken confidence in us to bring us around the country, to bring our show around. And the more girlies we have, the more showsies we'll have.
Yeah, and thank you for as well everyone who helped out with the polls, because it did give us a great insight in where to go, and we're so excited. Like Galway, we love you. Limerick, I don't think I've been. Well, I have been, but like when I was a kid.
And I've never been to Cork.
Jenny's never been to Cork.
I'm sure I've been to Cork, but like driven through. I've never stayed. I've been to like Cork, the county, but I've never been to Cork City.
Cork is gorgeous.
I've been to Cork like on holidays, like, you know, on the coast and stuff, but I've never been to Cork City for a period of time. But so, you know, Cork girls.
Cork girlies. We're all so excited, but I always feel like it's such a nice excuse because, I know, with two kids, it's expensive for me to say, like, just casually have a weekend in the country or whatever. So it's not something I would just be, like, nipping away here and there. But when any time I do go away anywhere in the country, I'm like, why don't I do this all the time? It's literally, Ireland is so small to get around. And everywhere, like, Cork is like a different world. Galway is like a different world. Like, it's just so fun.
It's so going to be deadly.
Dying for it.
We're dying for that, girls.
We're going to be buzzing.
Yeah, so, you know, if you're getting paid this week, here's how you cheer yourself up. You get a little ticket to our show. But anyway, onwards and upwards, we have to talk about freaking Azealia Banks, because she's probably on stage right now. Who, obviously, if you've been living under a rock, because, like, honestly, this probably made more headlines than literally the 8th being repealed. Like, I could not get away from this story today. Like, Azealia Banks basically had a kerfuffle with an Aer Lingus air hostess. From what you could tell on Azealia Banks' Instagram stories, her and this air hostess got into it in some way. She said that, like, the air hostess was looking for something off her. Like, I think she was looking for, like, I don't know, her boarding card or passport.
It was her passport.
Something like that. Azealia Banks, like, who is definitely a very openly, like, aggressive and defensive person, was like, I was like, why are you looking at me? And then she says that the air hostess went to the captain and said, she said, why are you staring at me? Stop staring at me or I'll sort you out. And then Azealia Banks said, which if this did happen, she's right. Like, New York people don't use the term sort you out. Like, they don't. She's like, I was from New York, I don't say that. But then she went on to say that the air hostess was ugly and said that she kind of said under her breath, like, all these ugly Irish women. And it was quite clear to me that she was talking about, like, it was like the way she was speaking about it was like as if she was still on the plane. She was like I was like all these ugly Irish women all around me. Like, she wasn't saying anything about Irish population. But then that's what the Daily Mail came out with an article that was like, Azealia Banks goes on Twitter and calls every single Irish woman in Ireland ugly.
The rant was, and then her rant continued.
Yeah. I mean, and if you are an Azealia Banks follower, you know that's literally how she goes. That's like her Instagram stories are always hours long. So long.
Every day kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. She's just constantly just like, hey, like, she's fucking gosh, she cracks me up. But like, they're always like, you know, they're like tiny dots.
Yeah.
Always.
I know, I couldn't watch the whole thing. So, which is like, I was hearing it like, oh, she also said this. She went on about, like, I don't know, Irish people churning butter or mad shit. It was going, I think it was
on Twitter with one of her fan accounts. I don't know. It was just all over the place. She was reposting stuff that people were sending her.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, she has, like, Azealia Banks is, like, a cult figure. Like, if you haven't heard of her since her song 212, you'd probably think she'd faded away. But, like, she is huge with the gays. Huge with the gays. And she is, and anyone who's big with the gays is like just going to be like held as a pop icon, you know, that way, even if they're not like, you know, number one in the charts. But she has a big cult following, so like she's like, she has like stans, you know, like stan Twitter and stuff like that. So like, if you say anything about her, like, they'll search her name and they'll like attack you and shit like that. So, you know, she has a lot of fans on Twitter who, because she's like always banned from Twitter, which is just gas. And so she was getting sent in stuff and she was posting it on her story, typing over it. And I think people then thought that like some of the tweets were from her, but they weren't from her. Like, it was all getting a bit messy.
I think she was definitely saying like highly offensive things.
Totally.
again, I couldn't watch the whole story because it was like, whoa, that bitch story is a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So I was seeing just a lot of tweets that people were like extracting like whatever she'd said. Mm. Now, obviously, I saw the ones when she was crying and she was like bawling into the camera and mm-hmm. stressed. And again, she was saying like, you know, she's traveling. She's been on tour. She's exhausted. Not that, you know, these aren't excuses, but they are reasons as to why she would be more.
I think she seemed quite hysterical.
Yeah, exactly.
As in like, I followed Azealia Banks for ages and like I dip in and out. I go between muting and unmuting her because sometimes her stories are just always, you know, those people are just always at the top of your story yeah. thing. And she, they're so long. I'm like, I prefer to just go on her page if I wanted to watch her story. And she kind of, she seems like a person, I'm just going to, you know, freaking armchair diagnose her, but like, you know, not seriously. Mm-hmm. She seems like a person who's probably gone through quite a lot, I think, in her life, in the sense that I think she like, she's spoken about like being like bullied a lot and like loads of different things. I think she's had like really bad experiences in the music industry, which I'm sure is probably horrendous. And she's had like a lot of like kind of shitty things happen to her. So she feels to me like a person who's kind of always on the defense. Mm. And I think if you're always on the defense, you're always going to read the worst out of a situation. So I think, I don't obviously have no idea what happened on the plane, but you know, I was talking to Mai actually, who's our girl who does our intro song, obviously. And we were laughing about it because she's going tonight.
And, oh, she's going tonight. Yeah.
And Mai was like, the bitch clearly just did not expect an air hostess to be rude to her. And I find a lot of Americans can be like this. Like a lot of Americans think that people in a service industry are going to be like, hi, how yeah. are you today, ma'am? And
because you walk into Forever 21 and people are like falling all over you.
Yeah. They're just kissing your feet.
Yeah, literally.
And that's as a normal person. So imagine as a celebrity.
Yeah.
So I think she probably just did not, she probably thought that maybe they knew her and she probably was just shooketh that they were probably a bit moany towards her, because like, I'm not saying this about all air hostesses, but like we've all been on a flight with some sour puss face air hostess. Yeah. I mean, it happens in restaurants, happens everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, you're just gonna get someone on a bad day. And I think then, like, I think she is, how do I say this sensitively, I think she is the kind of person that she's quite aware about like racial tensions in her own country. Mm-hmm. And I find that a lot of Americans in that mindset can kind of read that tension in countries where that's not exactly applicable, because like it's a different country and a yeah. different culture. So mm-hmm. I feel like she thought, probably from learned experience, that this woman was kind of lying about her because that Azealia Banks was probably the only black woman on the plane. Mm. And she kind of, that's how she read the situation. As I said, none of us were on the plane, so we don't know what the fuck happened. Mm-hmm. So I think that's how she got so hysterical, because I think it maybe like triggered her.
What we do know, however, though, is that she was basically, when she came off and she was crying and she was, you know, saying that they were talking about calling the police, mm. and then she was freaking out about the police coming, and she mm. was like saying things like, they just want to see a monkey in a cage. That's all yeah. that, like, crazy stuff. So she was being basically just being like, this is purely a race issue. And like she was saying stuff as well, like, oh, they just can't believe that they would see a black girl with a long weave and Louboutins in business class. But then I think what was just people were finding difficult was like then that she was kind of going on and being using kind of racial slurs, worth, I don't know what you could call it. Like just like she was saying things about Irish people, about our history.
All she said, she didn't really say anything about that though. That's what I was confused when people were picking this up. I think this was from the whole barrage of like DMs and stuff. A lot of the stuff that she said badly about Irish people were from DMs of people literally DMing her saying, we're going to throw things at you at your show, which is obviously like, I mean, that's her technique, obviously, fighting fire with fire. I wouldn't agree with that. I just blocked them, but you know,
how do you mean? So they were saying, we're going to throw things. And
people were randomly messaging her being like, you'd want to watch out tomorrow night. We're going to turn up to your show and blah, blah. And she was like, she'd replied to people being like, you're the peasants of the UK. Like, get away from me, you potato picking bitch. Like, but at the end of the day, like, I don't know. Like, she's clearly an outwardly aggressive person. So this is just her way of being. But like, she did not come on from, I watched her story. And I mean, as you said, it was long, so I could have missed one or two. She wasn't going on her story being like, Irish people are this, Irish people are that, they're this, they're this, they're that.
Say potato picking bitches.
Oh, it's rude. Yeah, never said she wasn't rude.
it's more than rude. It's like when she is just rich, when she's talking about like that she was racially, basically bringing race into it, and that she was like racially attacked, and then is doing the same thing in terms of like Irish history when she's coming in to do a show.
I guess, but I think her point was that like she felt, and I'm not saying again that I, like, as I said, I'd have to see a video to know what happened, but like from her perspective, she thought that she was having like law enforcement put on her because of her race. But like her DMing something to someone, to someone who said, "I'm going to throw potatoes at you on stage," if she calls them a potato picking person, like it's 100% rude, maybe bigoted, but like I don't really hold them to the same weight. In her mind, I could see how they're not the same thing, you know, that way. She's talking about one thing of like police brutality, if you want to call it that. Like, I know that didn't happen, but that's how she kind of, that's the like the tunnel that she went down. But like, I mean, I think it's just, it's a bit like I mean, I just can't believe people care that much. That's what my thing. Like, really, you're going to be that triggered over Azealia Banks, like that it's going to be front page of the news with a made up title saying that she went on a tirade about Irish women, calling them all ugly.
I find the ugly thing random. Because for me, when I saw it, I mean, it didn't sting me at all.
No.
And also, I just took it as an incredibly childish. She fascinates me in the fact that she just, I mean, never seems to learn, which I also kind of enjoy as well, because we're so used to seeing celebrities trip up once and then they will never do it again kind of thing a lot of the time. I think especially with stuff like social media, and we'll see, I don't know, a reality star having like a Twitter meltdown one day and then they'll literally be, it just won't happen again. A lot of the time I think you see with celebrities that their management take over and make sure that if something like that happened that it wouldn't happen again. But Azealia has consistently been doing this basically for her whole career,
which is why like there's nothing to for her to learn from, because as she said, she got front page in all of the Irish press, you know what I mean? It's like when you're a troll.
Well, a lot of the kind of responses to her and stuff were like, "You're only playing the Academy," for example. And then a lot of people would kind of be saying like, Azealia, especially I think Azealia fans would be like, you know, she's so talented. She has so many bangers. She has so much potential to be like this, probably like the greatest rapper, but she fucks it up for herself consistently. Like, and what do you think about that as a fan? Like, do you think that...
I think it's just like an unsubstantiated point, because we don't know... Oh, sorry, Gertie, didn't put my phone on silent. We don't know that the reason she's not big is because she's controversial. Like, she had 212 out and like there was so many... I remember like Iggy Azealia was out at the time. There was all these kind of similar rappers who were had huge record money behind them. I think Azealia Banks was on a smaller deal, as far as I remember, with possibly Sony, competing with other rappers who were just way more marketable than her. This is even before she was controversial, so to say. So it's like, it's hard to substantiate that would be like the reason that she's not big is because she's problematic. It's like, this is in the day and age of the influencer, and in the day and age where people can make a name for themselves online. We've surely proven that wrong, that like people who are like Donald Trump is the president who's a professional troll. Like, she's really famous. If anything, she's more relevant nowadays because she trolls so much, and she put like the whole Elon Musk thing, like that, if anything, it's made her more relevant and more,
I guess, would never her, know. Yeah. Like, are people still working with her?
She never really did work with people. I think at the start she worked a bit with Kanye West. Kanye West came out a while ago being like, Azealia Banks is a genius or something. But like, I don't think, like, to me, she seems like quite an antisocial person. And, like, I don't think, as I said, I definitely think she's kind of a paranoid person for some reasons. But, like, she's never really done collabs, really. Like, it's not like she produces her own music. She's always kind of done that. And she's already come out before and being like, I never even wanted to be a rapper. She wanted to be an actress. She's like, I'm just really good at rapping, so I just do it to pay the bills.
I wonder what her goal is in terms of kind of, like, what she's searching for, because so many times you see celebrities wanting, they're clearly chasing the fame, they clearly want to get like, they get a taste for it and then they just want to get bigger and bigger and make more money and stuff. She doesn't seem to
really
be like that.
She went to perform at art school, the same one as Nicki Minaj, so she wanted to be an actress. That was her thing.
I mean, like, since she's gotten the taste of fame and is like, she's not really playing the games as other, like we say, for example, Nicki Minaj. Like, Nicki Minaj plays the game.
Oh, totally, totally, you know? Totally. Like, yeah, and she's in like celeb world. Like,
yeah, she's just definitely playing her cards right to ensure that she's consistently going to be growing in fame and money and working with this person. And like, just, she clearly is like eyes on the prize. Whereas Ely Banks is like, you know, she is coming to Ireland and playing the Academy, and that's a more kind of underground venue in terms of, you know, a big rapper like that.
But she's an underground rapper. I think she's kind of happy, from what I could see, with her status. Like, not everyone wants to be number one.
No, I'd agree.
You know,
that's why I would just be interested to, like, what her kind of goal is. Is she just loving it for the...
I think from watching, honestly, from watching her Instagram stories, I think she really wants to grow her soap business, which is doing really well. She makes all of her own soap. She has this huge e-commerce site that's like selling shit tons of soap. And I think she's grand just being like her own little kind of indie person. She makes the odd song every now and again. She puts out a few EPs. And like, there's nothing wrong in that. Like, I hate that whole thing of people being like there was one tweet earlier on that was like, I am screaming at Azealia Banks, saying she's worked too hard in her career. Hon, you're flying from Gatwick to Dublin via Aer Lingus and you've sold out the Academy. Relax. It's like, okay, you do realise how hard it is to get booked, not only internationally, to sell out that show internationally, when apparently, as you said, you're so irrelevant, you haven't had a song since 2012 or 2014 or whatever. Like, I find that so reductive. Like, you know, like, it's just so pointing fingers. It's like, and what the fuck are you doing, hon?
You're sat in your hole tweeting about
her. Sat in your hole
making
tweeting
her even
about...
more relevant.
Yeah,
I know, I do hate that, because like, we're so excited about our show. We were so excited about playing the Tivoli, the Sugar Club, and now like moving on to a worldwide tour. But like, it's random that you would instant, like, fair enough, like, I hate this with anything that goes kind of viral.
Yeah.
The point is always just so skewed. It's like, oh, so now you're complaining that she's not playing a big enough venue for her to be able to have a voice and say what the fuck she wants to say on the platform. Like,
so if Nicki Minaj came over here, she could call us all ugly and it's grand because she sold out the three. Yeah, literally. Like, you know what I mean?
And also, the ugly thing is just like, stop getting so offended by, like, why would you care if Azealia Banks does think, even if, you know, whether she does or not, fucking who cares?
Yeah.
But why do you care if Azealia Banks thinks Irish women are ugly?
And
yes, it's highly offensive, but she lives, if she wants to live like that,
yeah,
let her live like that.
Let her, like, you know what I mean? Like, and also,
you can't ban like offense being taken, or, you know, if she does want to be offensive, you can't. I don't know how you can ban that.
Well, I think when you hit the nail on the head, we're talking about like the virality of it, that's what annoys me so much, because half the people, like, I was with my mum today before coming over here and it was on fucking News Talk and they were like, the rapper Azealia Banks. Like, I was like, oh God, this is just
so far removed.
So it's like you, nah, it's like trying to explain like a meme to your granny. Like, my mom was like, and who is she? And I was like, how do I? She's this controversial rapper. She's really crazy. She did this whole crazy thing with Elon Musk and like, it's just a vortex.
Honey, you're too late.
It's like, too internet-y and meme-y to like actually explain to someone. And
it's been going on years.
And half the people who were moaning on Twitter today had 100% never heard of Azealia Banks. They just heard that this American rapper came over to Ireland and probably didn't watch the video and heard that she called all Irish women ugly. And they were crawling up the roof with just triggeredness.
So there's obviously the triggered ones who are like, first of all, it's completely problematic to be saying this, and I am blah blah blah. And then there's the others who just like jump on any old bandwagon where they can like, oh great, I now have an excuse to be so incredibly vile and surpass anything that she has said and say something so much worse. Like, if you just go onto Twitter and search Azealia Banks or Azealia Banks Ireland in a couple of days, the like, the 80% of the tweets are so shocking. I cannot physically believe Irish people are putting out tweets like this. Like, one that was just like, Azealia Banks is just a N-word. And it's like, whoa.
And people just,
Keith, you really put that out? Yeah. Even if it's too, like,
which is also, which I find hilarious, that like, in their mind, I'm like, okay, how did you like go from A to B and end up a J? Because like, you're annoyed that Azealia Banks called Irish women ugly. So you say, oh, grand, I'm going to call her a racial slur. you're proving her point, because that is one of the fucking ugliest things you can do. Completely. You know what I mean?
Like, but I think this is the problem with like virality in like just it allows people, yeah, because there's such a huge amount of hate directed at this person, it can like the really, really bad stuff gets just kind of washed in amongst it. And it's kind of like, oh, we'll let that slide because what she, we're focusing on what she said and how bad it was. Mm. So it never gets focused on the, which we've spoken about before, like it never gets focused on like the absolute shocking death threats amongst other things that are thrown at people who go viral. It's just like, and if you are someone who is conversing about it, even in a kind of like social justice way of like, the problem with Azealia Banks is ... a blog post by Lindsay Hamilton. Mm. If you're trying to come at it in any way of like using someone's like Instagram story downfall as a way for you to leverage kind of some kind of, you know, patting myself on the shoulder, how much better I am than this person, it's like inviting a massive amount of hate. Mm-hmm. And like, I really wanted that to stay in 2018. We're gonna grab up a few tweets here.
Oh yeah,
let me see what we got. This one was funny. Most exciting thing that happened in Ireland in the last few years. This is Azealia Banks calling Irish girls ugly,
which is true. Like Azealia Banks said that today, she was on the cover of every single bloody tabloid and she put up an Instagram story being like, whoa, nothing must ever happen in Ireland, thanks for the front page though. Like she was my publicist would usually probably have to get like, you know, fucking amazing press, but no.
And then you see other people being like, anyone who's giving Azealia Banks, like at Azealia Banks attention, can you please stop, we're giving her exactly what she wants. It's like, so are you, dumb fucking cunt. Again, trying to just pat themselves in the back like, I won't give her attention. I found you on the Twitter thing when I searched your name, bitch.
Oh, God.
Did not one person on the Aer Lingus plane video the Azealia Banks commotion
I need. And you know what, Huns, if someone was on that plane, hit us up, because I will call you in on the next episode of It Calls and we'll shout you out in our Instagram, because I want that tea. I want like that raw story. I would
have to have seen that. But like, really, if anyone calls you ugly, maybe don't fuck them.
Well, just don't care. I mean, as I said, only ugly people care about being called ugly.
Completely. But also, if you took offense to Azealia Banks crying in Gatwick about like ugly bitch, like it was clearly just a childish, ridiculous thing to do, and she clearly has that mentality to a certain extent of like, you know.
Oh,
whatever her upbringing, whatever, we all have our own hashtag truth.
Yeah.
But like, whatever her background, her knee-jerk reaction when she feels attacked is to go into this childlike shit-slinging kind of like, you're a fucking ugly bitch. We all have that friend or sister who gets like that. Like, when me and my sister get into a fight, it goes there instantly.
You know,
just how some people are. You know?
And she obviously, like, if you go low, she goes lower. And that's how I kind of saw with the DMs and stuff that she was sharing, or DMs that kind of came out about her and all that kind of stuff. Like, you know, and I'm not endorsing what she said, obviously, but I'm just saying that, like, you know, it can be just taken out of context in the sense that, like, it's not like she, it's this, like, it's not exactly like Beyonce out of nowhere, who's this pristine, perfect person, randomly came on Instagram or was secretly videoed being like, everyone in fucking Ireland's an ugly bit. Like, it's, this is like, you have to take it into context of the person who's saying it. Like, so, you know, the more ridiculous and the more kind of offensive they are in their normal personality, that kind of dilutes the weight of throwing around the word ugly. Do you know what I mean? It's like, as in, like, obviously that's still not a nice thing to say to people or whatever, but like, as you said, when we're being hysterical, if I was hysterically crying in a plane, you best believe I'd probably be like, that's fucking ugly, bitch. Like, it's like Jermaine. You'd be like, you're fucking ugly.
So Jermaine. And if you don't know Jermaine, please, for the love of God, get on YouTube.
Yes. Like, you fucking ugly cunt. Like,
I know. Like, Sarah and I, when we were in arguments.
It's horrible, but.
It is horrible, and it's, but it also is just like, it's just how some people are. Like, some people, when they get hysterical or, you know, defensive or feel attacked or are in a fight, everyone has different ways of acting. Like, some people go silent and they just cannot fight. You know, some people will just be a walk away. Or some
and then
people,
they'll send you a text that's like 17
some
pages
people will
long.
Ignore your text and just like go in a huff for a few months. Everyone has their own, and everyone has their own kind of like things that they can't handle. I personally can't handle being ignored. I hate when you're arguing with someone and you're not just getting it out. I would much rather prefer have a fight with someone. We say the most god awful stuff to each other and then we sort it out and it's fine. And
yeah.
We can leave it in the fight. You know, I'm not going to come months later being like, yeah, but in that fight you called me this. Yeah. Like Sarah and I, when shit gets, like when we randomly have a fight, we shit gets brought up from literal dark places. Like, no wonder your first boyfriend broke up with you.
Yeah, it's literally, it's like, so
oh my god, I completely went there. You know, I literally cut myself over that or whatever. Do you know the way? And it's like the low levels are just shocking. But yeah, once the fight is over, concluded, we don't even remember what each other said. And it's like literally laughing about it, being like, what are we like?
I know.
Everyone just is different in the way that they are when they feel attacked or when they're on the defense.
Yeah.
And Azealia Banks clearly is like the most defensive person ever. I think, if like, she continues to defend herself.
Yeah.
But she, like, also came out and was like, you know, I love Ireland. Like,
yeah. Can we, well, I read that one that I said. So
oh,
her little statement, little or whatever.
Statement.
This is before she went on stage, because people were then being like, adding the academy to boycott her.
I mean, fair play to her for still going up. That is brave.
Well, that's one thing that I think that people completely ignored. Like, obviously, you know, it's kind of, remember, like, not to make it all deep and shit, but that's what we do here. You know, Lindsay and I always say, judge people on their actions, not their words. So, like, Azealia Banks was saying all this and talking mad crap, and she was 100% trolling at one point, because, like, she came on after all of it and then was like, oh my god, I cannot believe I'm the queen of Ireland. You guys got your first chocolate queen, bitches. Like, she was being, because all the gays were literally like, the queen of Ireland is arriving. Like, because they just amp her up, and she acts like that, you know. And then she was doing all this, and then people were like, you know, trying to get her to not come and all the rest, and which is just dumb, because, like, you know, and her actions are, the bitch was on a ferry. Like, if she didn't want to go to Ireland, if she hated Ireland so much, she'd be like, okay, fuck off, I've got a show in Manchester, you can all get a refund. No, she drove from Gatwick to fucking Wales, got on an overnight, the sailing rail, like.
And what really, really frustrates me in terms of, like, a music lover, when people are coming over to Ireland and they have, like, regardless of what she said or didn't say about Irish people or what people think of her, at the end of the day, she does have a sold out show in the academy. People want to see her.
Yeah. And, like, and I hate people talking down on that as well. I think it's maybe I'm more sensitive because me and you are doing shows now. I'm like, do you know how hard it is to, number one, get booked, number two, do a show and sell it out at 30 quid a ticket? Her tickets were as well, they weren't cheap, you know what I mean? Like, fair play to her, fuck off.
But also, it's really annoying when, like, I mean, it's happened before at a gig that we both went to, and I'm looking at you here in the eye, where it was the same thing, where, like, a rapper was treated in not the nicest way and wasn't given the nicest venue. And it's just like, for fuck's sake, like, rappers and musicians, not just rappers, but, like, musicians always will go to England and play a fuckload of shows in England. It's a massive effort for them to come to Ireland because they're probably only going to be playing Dublin. They're like, Azealia's not going to be knocking down to Galway after, like, they've played one show.
Maybe Belfast. So that's
rarely, though. Yeah. Like, most of the time, it's literally, unless they're super big and usually Irish or English, that they would play, like, a Belfast show. And it's like, they're literally coming over. Like, England, they can just drive around and play, like, a load of shows. Ireland, they have to get another plane, play one show, and then go back into France or wherever the hell.
And all of that comes out of their fee, honeys. Like, that does not come free. Like, that comes out of their fee. That comes out of their ticket sales. She brought over all of her soap. The Angel.
Oh, you can buy the soap in the...
Yeah, that's her merch. She brought... No, it's anal bleaching soap. And soap... What? That, yeah, she sells anal. It's called Bussy Boy.
Hold on. Why? What? It bleaches your... What?
Natural bleaching.
It bleaches your...
Arse. Yeah, because all of her gaze...
So oh my
god! It helps with the hemorrhoids. It brings down hemorrhoids. Swear to God, that's her soap. She's that, and then she's got Miss Camaraderie, which is like one that takes down. It's like retinol, and it takes down all your stretch marks. Like, apparently, the before and afters are unreal. I really want. Do you know, Bella has it. Mai's friend Bella. I've always asked her. I was like,
oh, does she?
Let me know how your arsehole is, one. If you're listening.
Well, let's get someone to do a little lick out review.
Yeah. So she's bringing it to the show tonight. Anyway, so Azealia Banks put out this statement coming up to her show on Instagram, and she said, Now with all that said, I think she was saying something else, blah blah blah. She said, "I would like to apologise on behalf of the Daily Mail for their psychological terrorism on Irish women. It's clear they presented you all a twisted story with the intention of hurting your feelings and riling you all up. That's very irresponsible on their part, and I'm sorry you all in Ireland and the UK are regularly targeted by such cheap media spectacles. They really just want to micromanage people's aggressions and create tension so they have content to write about. Everyone knows I love Ireland. I've tweeted about my love for the Irish strawberries and Irish people on countless occasions. Tonight I will be, and it will be an excellent night. I have goodies for you all. P.S. If you throw a potato at me, please let it be a baked potato wrapped in foil. My fan base knows I love baked potatoes. It's my favorite food." Which is just gas. Like, she's just trolling there, obviously.
But like, fair play, because it must be kind of scary after something like goes that viral. You're on the front page and you're like, and people are literally threatening to throw stuff at you. Like, shout out to the lovely girl I saw in Massa today, who was getting a little taco before she went to the show, and she was like, I came in early because we wanted to get up the front row, but now she was like, I'm freaked. I want to go up the front row, but I'm freaked that stuff's going to be thrown at me.
And like, the people were tweeting her, being like, or DMing her, and she was sharing it, saying like, there's going to be a few Irish car bombs ready for you tomorrow. It's like, oh dear God.
They take it to a level that you wouldn't even imagine. And what really annoys me, which is like side note, about just stuff like this in general, which is so kind of scary when something can be taken out of context and then is out of your control, but it's the whole world can perceive something that you've been slapped with like that. Like, she wasn't calling all Irish people ugly, but then on the front page apparently Azealia Banks, and now you know, your mom, my mom probably listened to that news talk, and my dad, anytime they hear Azealia Banks, is like, she's the girl who called every Irish single girl. Irish woman
and
ugly.
Most the majority,
oh, that's a disgrace.
And the majority of people, like, you know, I was saying this to my mum about something completely unrelated today, but like, we were talking about news stories and she was kind of saying, oh, doesn't matter anyway. But I was like, ma'am, look, you have to realize that like, if 100 people see an article title, a headline or something, 95 of them will just read it, accept it and move on. Mm-hmm. 5 of them might question it. 3 of those 5 will probably look up further information, and 2 of the 5 will like look up good further information. So like, you know, people can go, well, you know, it's up to everyone to look up for themselves. It's like, no, you know, the press and the especially the national press, like, you know, if it's on RTE radio, I'm like, we pay for you, like, do your research. Like, this is paid by the taxpayers' fucking money. Like, I mean, at least get the story right. And we were talking about something a bit more serious, but you know, in this sense, it's like, she is right. Like, you are all putty in the hands of these tabloids who are going to make lines way more sensational, because unfortunately, you know, people do believe what they read, which I don't really blame them for, but it's just that, you know, these rags like to sensationalize everything, and then unfortunately what happens is they divide people more, people hate it, then there's like, what, apparently going to be bombs at an Azealia Banks gig because she made an Instagram story.
And then, I mean, as well as that, like, that's in terms of like, if we're talking about, say, stuff that we can relate to as just like listeners and it gals, something that happened me today, for example. Ooh, a couple of days ago, I put up a small little Instagram story. Me and my sister were in bed watching First Dates, which is now our Sunday ritual.
Love that.
Such a good fucking show.
So good.
And it's only good kind of if you're watching it with your mom, you know. It's such a show you want to watch with someone.
Oh, I made Michael rewatch it with me. I'm like, it's so good, shut up and watch it. He loves it.
Because you need to be like, what do you think about this?
Yeah.
You know, or, oh, I hope they know, say yes to each other. Oh, blah, blah, blah. It's such a like chatty show.
Yeah.
And so we were watching away, and this ride came on from Galway. The most beautiful blue eyes.
It looked like a Viking.
Yeah, he was gorge country accent, Paul. And he was on a date with this gorgeous girl too. She had the most stunning hair, Polish girl. And they were on their date, and like, Fiona was like, oh, Lindsay, he is so you. And I was like, she was like, he is so you. I was like, oh, hey, random. Looks wise. And he was very cute with her and stuff. And I was like, okay, this is an Irish show. I know I'd be able to easily find him. All I had to do is put out an Instagram thing. So I got out my Instagram story and I was like, you know, when it's just like, as soon as you get out the Instagram or
it
will show the girl. I was like, no, him. So I was like, he's a ride. And then I think I went to her and I was like, not her, him. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I was like, him, he's a ride. Oh, I hope they don't work out because like, hello, I fancy the ride. I don't want them to
It was obviously clearly a joke. Like,
yeah, I was like, I just want to slide into this guy's D's. And anyway, it was literally 2 stories, and randomly today we get the response, even though it was Sunday, like today's Tuesday,
it must
be
Sunday
that I
Facebook
put up
groups.
I don't think so, because I literally, that it was the only response I got to it in general, bar thank you girlies, a lot of people giving me his Insta name. And yes, we did message, so more about that next, girls. But what you call it, yeah, so this girl came in and was like, how dare you slag a woman's looks, you have a platform and you're not using it correctly, it's all gone to your head, how, like, it's just, you're promoting bitching by slagging someone's looks. And I was like, I was literally trying to get my makeup on to go to mediation with the father of my child to try and get a little bit more financial support and support in general, because it's become completely insanely toxic with the Jimmy situation. And like, so I've been like fucking, you know, stressing about this mediation for the past few months. So like, I was like, what? Well, I don't even have a story up. I was like, what? I was like, what are you on about? Didn't write back to me. She then had actually, I just screenshot it and put it into the girl-o group with me, Jenny, and my sisters. And Jenny was like, she'd messaged Jenny as
she
well.
She messaged me literally being like, teacher, teacher, tell Lindsay to stop, basically. Mm. And also called me rude and said that my podcast has no worth. So
yeah,
that made
was
me
like,
instantly
your
on her side.
She was like, your podcast doesn't help girls at all anymore. Bloody blah, blah, blah.
And she said, I know, I've heard from multiple people from your last show that you're really rude. And I was like, oh, was I rude to all the girls who we were having a laugh with, or the girls that met us after the show and we took photos and had a kiki? Like, not really sure who I was.
Literally, you
rude
can see
to.
In the photos, we're having the crack.
Anyway, but crack, not to go in on that. Like, don't
no,
give her any more attention.
A hater hoe. But like, it's just so frustrating, because I in no way was slagging that gorge girl. I was literally just wanting that guy's fucking Insta profile so I could be stalking his pics. I mean, let a girl live. I just wanted to get him on the screen so the girls would be sliding into my DMs being like, it's Paul Rooney, he's a lovely chap. Literally, thank you girlies for that.
So like, what
the frustrating thing is that, yeah, someone can extract something that is literally, you've completely plucked something out of thin air, and now you're slapping me with that I'm a bitch who slags women's appearances.
Yeah.
And if that did go viral, that's the kind of fearful, that kind of the scary thing, that something that you didn't even do, if it's taken out of context, because she had actually screen recorded my video and put it up in her story and then was trying to be like, this woman is
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
X, Y, and Z.
Slagging women's appearances. Because I said, oh, not her being a riot. I meant I'm focusing on the fucker that I want to get with. I didn't want people being like, maybe thinking I'm bi and being like, oh, her name's Saoirse.
Yeah,
like,
no, I know, we got that. But like, I think what it is that it's like, you know, those, I don't know if I remember seeing a show where they do this wine tasting where like you taste the wine and you can just taste your own flavors, but then they'll give you this like lemon oil and then you all of a sudden taste all the lemon notes in the wine. So it's like a load of people could have seen your story and thought nothing of it, but then if she put it up and put her own spin on it, just like the way the Daily Mail did with Azealia Banks, or you know, the News Talk or whatever else did with Azealia Banks, it's like all of a sudden it's very hard to see it neutrally anymore. You're not seeing it without someone else's kind of context being spun on it, which is so frustrating, because you know, it's obviously happened to us before where like a lot of people think that we're like now forever and ever victim blamers, you know, that way, and we're this and we're that, and it's like, because like, now that that has kind of memed around in like certain Facebook groups, like, people will always see us in that light, which is like, whatever, if you can't get over that, then that's, I feel sorry for you that you can't. Something happened 2 years ago, but you know, I can understand as well in the same sense, because like, we probably all do it to some celebrities where you're like, but aren't they this and aren't they that, and where it could have been disproven, or it could have been, you know, like, yeah, all these kind of things. So,
and it came out, like, say George Michael, like, when he, you know, he had a horrible reputation when he was alive, and when he died and everyone came out and saying like about all the charity work,
reputation,
yeah, he had a really bad reputation.
For what?
George Michael.
Yeah,
well, he was in, like, he just had a really,
I thought he had a really good reputation. No,
musically, yeah, but his personal life, no.
Really?
With like drugs, and he was like fecking the guys in the bathroom and shagging guys, oh, in the bathrooms and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, that was just, yeah, but I get what you mean. I get what you mean. I mean, like, he had all the secret charity shit.
He was definitely
shit.
Quite seedy, and like, people would have seen him as that.
Oh.
And the, didn't he drink drive?
Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah, 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 yeah. I remember that now. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he was caught in the bathroom or something like that.
Well, that was like in the 80s.
I know, but like, it still sticks.
Oh, it still stuck. Like, I mean, yeah,
I remember,
yeah, yeah.
And I wasn't even alive in the 80s.
Totally, totally, totally.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then, yeah, it came out. Scandal. Like, I love that he kind of just, you know, didn't, he kept his, all his charity work and gore stuff that he did that came out when he died. And it's kind of like, then everyone's like, oh, he's amazing. It's just like,
so final thoughts on the Azealia thing.
Let a gal do what she wants.
Yeah, same. I mean, girls, if you thought, like, I mean, my favorite tweet was by Craig Gmo, one of my favorite Twitter followers.
I did adore that. Please, please read it out. Getting it up on the phone, we want to say it exactly as is.
So Craig Gmo said, if Azealia called you ugly, accept your truth.
I love that, using the truth,
because it's also like, if you thought she was talking about you, maybe you're ugly.
You're ugly, ho, sorry.
Or also, like, you know, just get over it.
Just don't be so sleepy if that's going to affect you. It's just tiresome at this stage of the game.
Okay, shall we move on?
We're moving on to another virality moment.
We'll move on. Before we move on, we'll plug our Patreon, I guess, just in case you girlies don't know. We have twice the amount of it, girls. 10 times the goss. $6 a month.
It's where we spill our shit, girls.
We have some juicy episodes coming our way. We've had, obviously, you had an episode with Jess Brennan on there, which will be staying there, girly. Sorry about ya. Too juicy for it, girls.
Literally, yeah.
And yeah, go sign up. It's patreon.com/itgirlspodcast. And it's weekly content.
It's the extra content, weekly content, the juiciest shit. It's where I'm going to be spilling all about the mediation and the Jimmy tales and Mahad drama that's been going on, because I've been using Insta Live as my diary randomly, so I just decided I'll also use X-Gals, because it's just a safe space.
So go check that out if you want more tea. Okay, so we probably have about half an hour left or so. We will talk about the Gillette controversial. I was fucking sick that this happened the day after I left your house. It happened like, the ad was released the day we released it, girls. And then I was home when it was all blowing up. And I was damn it. I love it when, like, the Azealia Banks thing was such perfect timing.
I know. It was literally yesterday and she's performing now. Oh, I wonder how it's going.
I know. Oh, God. We'll have to have a peek on Insta afterwards.
Yeah. And if you were at the gig, let us know.
Yeah, let us know. But so Gillette put out an ad last week, which I'm sure you all saw. So we don't need to recap. If not, just look it up. You'll find it. But it was basically, I don't know, how would you describe it?
Okay, well, it basically starts with it's kind of like a collage of all like news readers over and like headlines being like, we are hearing that this is happening about men in this country are
and
raping,
it's men,
blah, blah, blah.
Like,
so, like,
staring
this
into a window, looking really sad.
Yeah. And then,
or into a mirror.
It goes on to, it kind of is all these little, I guess, stereotypes. Like, there's a guy walking down the street and I think he's like, nice butt. And another guy,
it's
comes
basically
out and is
just
like,
another one of these,
don't say that, man.
And like, then, whoa. I mean, it's just basically like, I mean, I'm sure you've all seen it or heard of it. It's just another wokeified ad. But this time I just think it's gone to the level of stupidity, because they're not even pandering to their own audience.
That, I think, was like, I wasn't like, truth be told, I was not shocked at the ad. I was like literally waiting for some like a much like what I was like expecting my jaw to be on the floor because of the level of virality that it got so quickly as well.
Yeah.
I was
I'm
sitting down. I can't wait to see this ad. And then I was like, oh, it's a shit ad. But I'm not surprised. I'm surprised. The only thing that kind of like surprised me was that is like, you are trying to sell to men.
Yeah, and you're
slagging men. But you then think they're going to be like, you're right. We're fucked.
I mean,
let me buy a shaver.
Bizarre that Gillette thought that they could come in on a moral high ground to pander to feminine. Like, where do they think the premise of the whole ad is that Gillette are changing their slogan from Gillette the best a man can get to Gillette the best a man can be. So I guess it's like, instead of selling you the dream that Gillette is the best razor, they're saying that like, we can help you be the best man, and the way that we're going to help you do that is by combating toxic masculinity and stopping men catcalling and stopping the Me Too thing. And like, at the start when I was watching the ad, because as I said, I saw a bit of buzz on it on Twitter the day it was released, just from a few people that I follow, and I was like, oh, what's this? And I kind of watched it, and I thought at the start it was going to be pro men. Because I saw all these men, there are these men kind of ominously looking into a mirror at themselves. Mm-hmm. And in the background, all you hear is like, the Me Too movement. And I was like, oh, maybe this is taking a like, because I didn't know why it was controversial yet.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, maybe this is taking an angle of like, men are feeling really, you know, down on themselves or something. Yeah. Because there's a lot of bad press about men has been in the past, you know, year or two.
Well, they've, you know, men have gotten a massive beating publicly, you know, in terms of the media in the past couple of years.
Yeah.
This, you know, toxic masculinity, you're hearing that word every day.
Yeah. And feminism is just, you know, so mainstream now. And whatever your take on that is fine. But, you know, you have like, what you do see a lot of on Twitter and on the news and is how bad men are and how hard women have it and all this kind of stuff. So I was like, oh my God, maybe they're kind of, I thought it kind of looked like it was men being like, oh, I'm so sad. And I thought maybe they'd be tackling the suicide crisis within men. Because I was like, the men looked to me really upset in those first opening seconds. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this is mad. Like, I was expecting the woke ad. But then the woke ad pursued. And then it was actually the men looking, questioning themselves in the mirror.
I was shocked at the virality as well, because usually something viral, like the Azealia Banks thing, is like usually the woke people, you know, the woke people is what they are, more the people who with the pitchforks going viral. So I thought, oh great, this ad is going to be deadly.
Basically
an anti-feminist ad. I was dying to bloody watch it. But then I was like, oh, fair fecking play. People are actually finally getting sick of this social justice woke shit.
Yeah.
And they're just like fighting against it now. Because I think honestly, last year that ad came out, people would have been like, thank you, Gillette, for pointing out the obvious things that men are doing.
Yeah,
I think
just
at this point, people are like, no, no, truly, fuck off.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to get some tweets up give you. Just, I find Twitter's great for just kind of
the public, like the kind of general sides. Consensus as well. Yeah.
And different sides. So let's talk about this tweet.
Okay.
This is from Elizabeth Miller. Okay, she's a Christ woman, it says in her, Christ has conquered the world, in her Twitter bio. Okay. What is so offensive about the ad? Which part offended you? The part about not grabbing a woman's butt? The part about not verbally harassing women? The part about teaching kids not to bully? The part about breaking up kids' fight to discourage unhealthy aggression? What was it?
Snorted.
The
snort offended me more than the fucking ad did. But what I think, this is what annoys me most about these kind of responses, especially on Twitter. It's these kind of high and mighty, I mean, literally a Christ woman coming down, like being like, you know, how dare you pick apart some point of nuance, which is completely relevant. You know, it's completely relevant for like men to be like, hold on, dear God, like, why are you attributing every single bad thing about humanity to masculinity? Like, they were attributing all sexual assault, they're attributing bullying, cyberbullying, roughhousing, any form of like, you know, kind of even just checking out. It wasn't even catcall. Like, and obviously there's a lot of those things that do happen mostly from men to women, but like they're not a male issue. Like some of them are crimes, like sexual assault. Like mm-hmm. yes, when I had this out actually with a follower, because I tweeted something about it or something on Instagram, I think, and she was like, yeah, but like most cases of sexual assault or whatever are done by men to women. And I was like, yeah, 100%. However, you can't call it a solely a male. It's not because of toxic masculinity, I think, that people are doing that. It's cause, I mean, I don't know, there's a plethora of reasons, like, you know, psychological, I'm sure you could go into it, but like it's a crime. Like it's not like a
accepted
kind of behavior within men, I don't feel. Now obviously there's a lot of people out there who feel that way, but this kind of tweet is what annoys me most, because they whittle down to patronize your very
your moral compass.
Yeah, and also just to they patronize your kind of your level of critique by being like, oh so you got offended when they said don't let kids bully each other. It's like, obviously not. Yeah, I'm pro bullying. Bring that back. Like, you know what I mean? And so then they can just put you in a corner and slap a label on you and be like, ha, you're part of the problem.
I think, we had another.
Spoiler
alert. We had another tweet here. If you're offended by the Gillette commercial, you either don't get it or you're part of the problem. Probably both. That's all.
Ugh.
I hate the. That's all. Smugness. I just pwned you. It's like, no, you haven't. Moral Central. Okay. This machine kills fascists. You know, bloody hell. People need to fucking cop on with their Twitter bio.
If your Twitter bio is in any way serious, I'm scarlet for. Like, I really am.
If it says stuff like, you know, social justice, feminist, vegan, it's like, please, okay. please go freak yourself into oblivion, because you need to get a life, my honey.
If you can honestly encapsulate your entire political, social and personal stance in a Twitter bio, you probably need to get out more.
In a side note, just, I mean, this is completely just irrelevant right now, but I'm just thinking of like Insta bios.
Yeah.
So there's this YouTuber I randomly used to watch when I was like mad into veganism and stuff years ago, Bunny Rebecca. Australian.
God, sounds so annoying.
She's fucking annoying, and I never liked her. She was always like so perfect and really blah blah, but I just liked hate watching her, like just being like, you're so annoying, but I kind of just, I'm watching this 20 minute video. But I hadn't watched her or followed her in years, and she randomly came up as a suggested in my YouTube why I'm no longer vegan.
That's always coming up on mine as
know, because she was a vegan, and like the fucking video, god, 48 minutes long, it was so bloody long. Literally going into the ins and outs of her gut health, and that like was like saying that like veganism for her was like her whole life, her identity, her job, her this, and now she's not a vegan, now she's eating fish and the odd egg and stuff. And it's like, honey, to like literally, I just find those labels, whether
you pigeonhole
it's feminism,
yourself,
or veganism, like
it's all identity politics, you know, that way.
Yeah,
it's
she
like,
was a vegan for 6 years, it's not like she was like doing it for 3 months. It's like, oh, grrr, and then you have to put up that awkward why I'm not a vegan video, and there's all these other vegans giving their response. It's just remove that from your Insta bio. It's scarlet, and no, you're not doing it for any other reason than being like, hello, I'm better than you. They're like, probably both. Like, and stop pigeonhole, like, again, a label cunt is gonna pigeonhole you into like, so according to Rachel, if we're offended, we're either part of the problem or we don't get it. So we're either problematic or we're just dumb and we don't get it. It was, first of all, the most simplified dumb video. Everyone gets the video. Everyone gets the ad.
Yeah, like the majority of the ad, like I mean the thing is, like, I found it even just badly scripted. Like, it was badly made. Like, they had like, you know, obviously there was a big budget, as in the cameras and shit were nice, but
I mean,
like
the acting was absolutely like
terrible. It was like
a bad. It was like Piranha 3D kind of.
It was
acting.
Like Waterford Whispers made it. Like, I it mean, was kind of like a satire. Like,
I know.
You know, there was at one.
Don't say that.
Yeah, like they had this like guy leering on a girl who didn't even catcall her. Like, he didn't even.
From what I remember, he kind of goes.
He goes.
Butt.
No, he didn't even say that. He just went wow or something, then his friend jumps out of a coffee shop, and goes, "Whoa, man, not cool." Not cool. Like,
and then the dad's like literally poking the sausage on the barbecue. Yeah. And like, guys,
And these not how kids, we treat each other.
These kids were literally having the lightest scuffle. Which is like,
me and Lindsay have bigger scraps.
It's not like they were literally like bullying a poor little nerd kind of character and like pillaging his head into the cement.
Oh,
like,
God.
It was a rough and tumble at the family barbecue. And they're like,
and then there
guys,
was
guys,
the,
guys,
the
guys.
Row of men on the barbecue, if we want to talk about gender stereotypes, going, boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys.
It's like, I haven't, first of all, like the whole hilarious. Like anti-boys will be boys saying, I genuinely haven't heard anyone use that. Like that phrase in fucking since I was a little kid. I've never been like boys, boys, especially to excuse horrendous behavior. I've never seen like people like last week I was at the bus stop and a lot of boys were bullying one kid and all the adults went around and broke it up. Like I do remember like boys be boys. Like if this whole toxic masculinity kind of thing was so accepted, surely I would see this being accepted constantly. Like whenever I have been around.
That's what's infuriating. Yeah. It's like, oh no, no, no. This is already, we're already there. You're like, if there's fights going on the streets, people are wanting to stop that. Catcalling women themselves are also being like, hey, fuck off. Don't say that.
We should be teaching women to tell, like, I mean, you know, I saw, I was listening to another podcast I listened to called Red Scare and they were talking about this. And they were, one of the hosts kind of said that like a lot of the time, and you know, this is aside from the fact from like, you know, sexual assault or whatever, but she was like, a lot of the time, like a lot of these things, toxic masculinity is used as a kind of excuse to excuse women for like setting certain boundaries. It's like, let, like, you know, if you're a woman and you're walking down the street and a guy catcalls you, like, scream back at him. Like, we've said this in the podcast.
Exactly.
Like, obviously, like, it's not going to put yourself in danger, but like, it rarely will on like a Dublin street. You know, just be like, shut the fuck up.
Well, it's you can tell when you're feeling that you're endangered or if you're, you know, alone
and usually
at
that's
night
a-
and maybe someone's drunk, like that definitely could be putting yourself in danger.
Totally.
For example, it happened to me broad daylight a couple months ago in Tampa Bar. A guy, I had headphones on, and an American dude just kind of like leered into me and just said, great tits. And I just said, ew, like instantly my knee-jerk reaction was just like scream at him and be like, don't ever say that, and mortify him and be like, don't say great tits, you're disgusting, gross, and whatever.
Yeah.
And walked on. I didn't need no man to come out of a restaurant and be like,
not cool,
dude, don't say that. Okay, we're gonna say two more tweets. These are kind of conflicting tweets that I think encapsulate like different opinions. So this is from Mackenzie Jade. Imagine being pregnant for 9 months just to give birth to a man who gets threatened and butthurt by a Gillette commercial that support a future of better, more respectful men. And then I think this one perfectly shuts that down. I can't wait for the Tampax commercial that tells women to stop being catty, jealous and manipulative.
Literally, like, I mean, I put out a tweet as well that was like, how dare they appropriate female culture and say that men are the one doing the cyberbullying when we all know it's women who do cyberbullying. Like,
literally,
stop
on the daily.
Taking my culture is not your advertisement.
I like, mean,
women are the one who do the fucking cyberbullying around here, honey.
Yeah, literally. I mean, oh my God. The levels that happen in these Facebook groups and Instagram pages. And
like, when your fella finds them, he's like, what the fuck is that? You're like, anyway, shame. Like, I mean, the depth that women know on these WhatsApp groups. But like, it was just such a fucking reach. But that one, that tweet is so true. Like, okay, make your toxic masculinity ad. Okay, I'd love to see their corresponding Gillette Venus ad that's like, women, stop using your sexuality to coerce men into doing things they don't want to do. Like,
oh, completely.
Could you imagine? I mean, like, we believe that women can be better. Stop having tits. Like,
well, like, say for a tampon ad or an Always ad, being like, women, stop using your period as an excuse to be a cunt. But use our sanitary towel whilst you're on it.
Yeah. Like, we know that women can be better and you will be better with Always. It's like, no, Always would never be dumb enough to do that because they would never. And also that would never,
it would never
fly.
Ever happen, because it's like the virality thing. When one thing is seemingly okay, like the Azealia Banks thing, or if, you know, back when we had our thing, it just was like, oh great, a bandwagon thing where we can all be throwing our anger on this person today, and we see it every other day, there's something new. A couple of weeks ago it was that video with apparently the men going up to the drunk women in Dublin. Whatever it is, there's always something local or else worldwide that is like just everyone's allowed to jump on and be completely hateful. And it's like, in terms of like the toxic masculinity thing, it's like, oh, we're just completely allowed to bash men consistently and blame them for things consistently. It's okay. We're allowed to do that.
Mm.
In advertisements, on television, within feminism, and constantly.
Then not only just within the advertisement, but then within the response to the advertisement. Like, they put out the ad, a shitload of people, like, guys, go look at the video at the likes and dislikes on YouTube. It's like 1.something million downvotes and 500,000 upvotes. Like, and look at the comments. Let's try and find a positive comment. Mm-hmm. Like, I honestly couldn't see it. One person made a really funny troll comment that Gillette fell for. They commented saying, "Wow, my wife's son loves this," which is obviously a joke, as in like, I'm raising it, like, I'm such a bad man that I'm like helping a woman raise another child. And they replied, "Hey, thanks for the comment," because obviously they were like clinging on to the one comment they thought was real, and it was trolling them.
Oh my gosh.
But like, try find a positive comment, because there aren't any. And then what happened is like, now that people actually voice up and say like, fuck this, like, we're sick of being spoken to like this, like, there was a load of women also being like, fuck this, like, it's just degrading to men, it's horrible, like, you wouldn't be saying this to women, then we're further allowed to be like, you're all snowflakes, none of you, like, oh, you're such men, but you can't take a slagging. It's like, dear God, if this was any group of people and you made an ad preaching to them, telling them that, like, all of them are like this, like, you're all bullies, you're all sexual harassers, you're all catcallers.
And we're sick of it.
And we're absolutely sick of it. And us, the company, who, by the way, have recently been found to be profiting off child labour, keep that on the sly, we know better. By the way, sorry, a lot of Indian children are over there trying to get stitches in their hands from assembling our razor blades.
Yes, but let's focus on the fact that one guy murmured "nice butt" at me in the street.
That's the real problem.
I'm more offended at the word "butt." Just in general.
Butt,
it's
like,
such a vile word.
It's a minging word.
Like, so, why say "butt" when you can say "orse"?
Literally, hon.
But like, it's just mad how men, like, I mean, I think the timing after 2018, where all this, you know, stuff came out, Me Too, and, you know, fair enough, we are delighted that this stuff was brought out and came to the surface. However, you know, men are not, clearly, like, they are not disposable. They are not object to being hurt and offended and definitely being chipped away at. That all this is just, must be really difficult as a man to be constantly being told that you are horrendous in every part of your world. And like, so this ad that Jenny showed me, which was a response to the Gillette ad,
yeah,
it was a watch company. I'm just gonna look it up
so
here, so
good.
I can,
it's called
Gillette commercial response. It basically, what is a man, a response to Gillette from eGuard watches. And it's beautifully shot, first of all. The comparison and just the cinematography alone is just gorgeous. Like, they are, there's lots of different men, all different races and kind of ages and everything, and just kind of slow-mo shots, portrait shots.
And it's called We Believe in Men, or The Good in Men, or something like that. And it's all about how, like, there's obviously aspects of masculinity that, like, the world really likes, and that, you know, instead of constantly dogging on this, like, you know, made up term, toxic masculinity, because, like, toxicity exists across the border, black, white, rich, poor, like,
male,
female, whatever the hell, you can be toxic. And to attribute, so, like, this is all talking about, like, how
this is basically,
know,
the facts that I'm, because I think what was so wishy-washy about the Gillette ad in general was that it was just
unsubstantiated,
tarring everyone with the same brushes, and like, oh, you all kind of just, like, you know, it was coming up against the stereotype, but being like, every man catcalls and bullies, and around a barbecue saying boys will be boys. But this ad, the response, the what is a man one, is basically, is giving out the percentages of, like, 80% of men are the ones who commit suicide, and, like, the homelessness.
Yeah, 80% of, like, suicide victims are men. 93% of work fatalities are men.
Yeah.
75% of single homeless people are men. Like, just really, and
50% of men who don't have visitation rights to their children are still paying child support. Like, so it was just, like, actually commending men and giving them something back, because, like, there's a lot, and a lot of amazing men out there, and we need to remind the world of that, because that is just such a more positive way of,
well, it's a more unifying way, you know. It's like, as you know, obviously there's, you know, with Me Too or whatever you think about it, or
I say 80% of men commit suicide?
Yeah, I know what you meant though. I know what you meant. 80% of suicides. I know. 80% of suicides are male.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah. Sorry.
But you know, like it's obviously, you know, there's a time and a place for outing bad behavior and all the rest. However, there's also, after that, you have to come around to some sort of unifying factor, I think. You have to, like, in some way, like, you know, we're always going to be living on this earth together. Not to get all the motivational speechy on everyone, but, like, we are. Like, we're always going to be sharing the planet with the opposite gender. So, or the opposite sex, whatever you want to call it. Like, you know, so what are we going to do? Just completely further divide it and then, you know, have, like, the male feminists who, I mean, we've been there and done that and talked about them. Like, so we have to be able to commend men on some things. And we also, too, it's so damaging. This is what really gets me. It's so damaging to start to talk about a group like men and say that they've no problems when the suicide figure alone should stun you. And it really annoys me then when I see a lot of, I've seen this argument come around where they're like, well, the reason of that is because of toxic masculinity. Because they said that, like, toxic masculinity tells men that they can't
show their feelings,
up about their feelings.
Boys don't cry.
Which is like, I mean, you could say that as a reach, but like, it's not the same. My main problem with the Gillette thing is that they were conflating sexual assault to like boys tumbling around on the ground. Like, they're putting that all under this one umbrella term of toxic masculinity. Like, mm-hmm. You can't have it both ways. You can't say, oh, toxic masculinity, you know, it's bad for men because, you know, this is a horrendous figure, and toxic masculinity is, you know, boys doing this and that and this. It's just like, it's an unsubstantiated term. It's not defined. Give me someone who can define it properly in one sentence. I'd love to hear it, because I've never fucking heard it. I've just heard it being used for any which way you want to degrade men, usually.
I think it's just a blurb. It's just, we see it a lot with these, you know, whatever you want to call them, feminazis, you know, just bloody crazy bitch feminists. Use the same words over and over again, and it's just a kind of like stamp of like, I'm calling it that, end of story, that's what it is.
Yeah.
The patriarchy, toxic masculinity.
Yeah. It's like their go-to.
They're just regurgitated, and if you dare question, like, you know, please just give me the sentence, like, what does the patriarchy even mean? Because you're using it so often, it's basically just a comma at this point. And then they're like, you don't know what the patriarchy is. Are you joking? You don't know what toxic masculinity is. And they'll dump, like that tweet kind of summed it up, where it's like, if you are offended, you're either dumb or part of the problem. It just stops conversational. It's just
it's
you're
divisive.
Literally going to
pigeonhole-y as well, which is so
it's
annoying.
Just like,
will we talk about toxic femininity to end this up? So I saw a really good article. I'll link it in the description. It's called #MeToo Will Not Survive Unless We Recognize Toxic Femininity. So here are some things that she lists off which are considered to be toxically feminine, and I thought it'd be a fun idea if you and I played a game where we said if we've done it, because it's actually put off as raise your hand, but we will say yes.
Guilty.
So number one, raise your hand if you've ever behaved badly and blamed it on your period.
Yes.
Very handy. Raise your hand if you've ever acted helpless in the face of an unpleasant, if not physically demanding, task, like dealing with a wild animal that's gotten inside the house. Yeah, I have. I've literally gone on holidays and acted really weak at the end of a staircase on many a train station so that men will come and pick up my luggage. Thankfully do it as well.
Yeah, true.
Like, you're like, I can't do that. How could I possibly?
It's randomly in our head that we shouldn't carry luggage if we're on a trip with our boyfriend. You know the way you always see the comments like that?
That's one of my, I don't think I should.
But isn't it weird how that's just implanted in our brain?
Yeah.
I always see it. Like, if I'm at a airport and you see like the girl carrying her own luggage, my, you know, people are like,
I know. Michael insists on carrying mine, which to be honest, thank God. But I've done it where I've been away with other girls and we've literally been like, oh. Especially if you're in Paris, great tip. Just really try struggle up that one step on the metro. Some nice French men will lift up your thing.
Something stunning. When your boyfriend just grabs your luggage out of your hand and wheels the two ones, like the fluid motion of him being able to manage the two wheels places, I'm like, take me now.
Raise your hand if you've ever coerced a man into sex, even though he didn't really seem to want it.
Okay, I don't know. What?
Don't know if I've done that one.
No.
If you've ever been like, come on. To be honest, they always want it.
They always want it. Any man who's around me always wants the curlies.
Don't think I've done that one. Raise your hand if you've thought you were at liberty to do this coercing because men always want it.
Say that again.
Sorry, it's just saying our point. We were like, they always want it. And then it said, raise your hand if you've thought you were at this liberty to coerce men because they always want it and should feel lucky anytime they get it.
Well, yeah, I guess.
Jury's out on
you
that one.
You walked yourselves into that one, girlies.
Raise your hand if you've ever threatened to harm yourself if a man breaks up with you or doesn't want to see you anymore. Haven't said I'm going to harm myself, but I've definitely been like, you don't even know what the damage you're going to... Like, you know?
I've definitely like exaggerated my mental state, dare I say.
Yeah.
In terms of like, if I'm... you know, losing a fight, maybe I'm like basically I've been fucking really like depressed and stuff like
that. Or I've done it kind of like if you're having a fight, your boyfriend, he's like, I'm leaving, and you're like, please, I just can't be alone right now, but it's,
I can't breathe. I'm anxious, I'm freaked that like,
oh, I've had
gonna get broken into or whatever.
Very exaggerated hyperventilations, I will say that.
They're gas, they're so Jamae.
Raise your hand if you've been physically abusive with a male partner knowing you'd be unlikely to face any legal consequences. I haven't done that, but I do know, I have heard many girls say kind of shit like that.
I don't think I would, like, I wouldn't classify it as physically abusive, but I definitely would have, like, say, whacked a guy jokingly that I guess if he did the same exact motion to me, it probably would have been like, oh my God.
I do have the knowing, I do have the, like, inbuilt knowledge within me, though, that I know that if I did deck my fella, I know that nothing would probably happen to him.
I mean, deck is a different thing to, like, but I do notice, like, girls will very much playfully slap.
Well, I would never deck him, but I'm saying that I know I have.
But
that.
I'm even saying like, oh, you know, reality. Decking is like, you know, girls, not many girls are going around decking their fellas, but I do can notice and can say that like, you know, I would playfully in a jokey way kind of be like, you know, you could slap your fella's arm or something. But then I feel like if they did it to you, it would be like, what the fuck are you doing?
Totally. Raise your hand if you've lied about being on birth control or faked a pregnancy scare to see how a man would respond. Yes, and yes, I've done both of those things.
Really?
Yeah, first guy I ever had sex with, I this is more of an ex-gals topic, but I'll give you this one for free, girlies. I was young and convinced, of course, that I was that fertile that I was going to have sex with a condom and get pregnant because my period was probably about 45 minutes late. I took a pregnancy test, knew I wasn't pregnant, and decided to test him and turned up to his house and pretended to be pregnant to see how he'd react.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
How did he react?
He was, I mean, just normal. And I was like, ha ha, got you, just testing. I mean, obviously also was 17, so could be attributed to complete emotional immaturity.
You're being honesty.
Well, it's honest. And I have lied about being on birth control. Have you done either of those?
I've never really been on birth control, so.
Oh, true. Yeah.
I've never lied about it.
Well.
I just don't go on it.
The key of lying is not being on it.
Hmm?
You only lie if you're not on it. So I've always been like, yeah, I'm on the pill.
No, that's what I mean. I've never been on it. I've never lied about it.
But you wouldn't be on it if you're lying about it.
What?
Because if you're saying, oh yeah, I'm on it, you wouldn't be on it. That's lying. Have you never told a guy you were on it when
you weren't
on it?
No, I get what you mean, but I'm saying I've never been on it and I never lie about it.
Okay. Yeah. Raise your hand if you've ever manipulated a divorce or child custody dispute in your favour, falsely insinuating that a man has been abusive towards you or your child. No, obviously I haven't done that, neither of you.
No.
But it does happen.
It does happen.
They are things that happen. So let us know what you guys think about the toxic femininity.
And if you have any other to add to that, because it is just interesting. Like, I mean, we are in a world at the moment that is just bashing men, whether or not you like it. It is what is happening, you know. So it is, that's why we decided to just do that little game there, because it's like, you can point the finger, but it's going to be a time when you have to look at the fingers pointing back at you.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, like we were saying earlier, it will make us more unison, because it's like we have to stop painting the picture of men being these terrors and women being these angels, because that is just furthermore making division and making stereotypes.
Mm, and it's damaging women as well.
Oh, completely.
You know?
Because it maintains the stereotype that we're vulnerable, unable to stand up for ourselves, that we're weaker, that we're so many things that are just like further burying us into this really toxic hole.
Yeah, it's further dividing the sexes and making us hate each other more, and like just making
scaremongering things,
scaremongering people. Like, it's just gonna make the world puritanical again. Which,
it makes
no thank
men
you.
Be fearful of their own gender, and then women be fearful of men as a gender and their power, and women feel weaker and that they don't have the ability to stand up for themselves. Mm-hmm. So little tricks that you can do, like just even with the, if someone says something to you in the street and if you feel like you're safe, say it back, you know. Yeah. Stand, like little ways in day-to-day life that you can teach yourself to just be a bit more confident, or a bit more, you know, being able to stand up for yourself. And like whether it's in the workplace or in your relationship or with a male friend, mm-hmm. or whatever it may be, like teach yourself these things. We don't need to listen to just the general media mm-hmm. in how women are and how we should be. Like, you know, we have a voice. We have the ability to be strong ass bitches. So use that
mm-hmm.
and know your truth.
And men, keep pressing dislike on the Gillette ad
mm-hmm.
because hopefully that will learn them.
That'll teach them.
Although I did see one tweet which was completely true, that they were like, I think it was Ricky Gervais actually, he was like, great marketing strategy these days, put out a woke ad, half the population will hate it and give you, or love it and give you press, the other half will hate it and give you further press. So it's a win-win for Gillette. Yeah. Because same thing happened with Pepsi, same thing happened with Proactive, same thing happened with all these companies that do woke ads. I think they've all kind of hacked the system now where they're like, oh, half the people will pander to the wokes and will cause uprage in everyone else, and then we'll be trending for
that
a week.
That would be interesting to know, like within all this kind of virality, I'd love to know the percentages of like downfall within a company, because you just constantly see when something like the Gillette ad gets massively viral and a huge big hate campaign against it, and you see like Gillette is cancelled, like there was pictures of people throwing their Gillettes down the toilet. First of all, that's a whole just environmental issue, because you're not allowed to put razors in the toilet. Oh my God, the poor turtles, like they can't handle the straws. How are they going to do with a bloody razor coming down to the sea? But anyway, it's just like, I won't, like, because it's just funny, because then like in, like the kind of peripheral view of like people who aren't on Twitter who obviously are just going to be hearing Twitter brainwashing them coming out of the radio and on the TV, they're going to be walking into Dunn's and be like, oh, Gillette, that's what I needed, you know. The way, so
yeah, it would be interesting would to know the actual fall off,
yeah, if that's a thing, because it's just so funny that
it's
people,
usually like a temporary thing, isn't it? Like, I think,
well, I mean, it happened with ours. It Gals are cancelled, It Gals are done. It's like, right.
Going
oh,
on
well,
tour.
Since then we had three shows and we're going on tour, so thanks, feminists.
Thanks
you're
for making
there
us
for us
more famous. Yeah, so let us know what you guys think. I think it's shit show, but personally, I will be using Gillette razors because I just do find them better. So, but yeah.
Really, I haven't used them actually.
Very
I might
good.
Now. Now that they're on your brain.
Now that they're on your mind. Go
literally.
On. Gillette, sponsor us. And if you really want to get men thinking right, sponsor It Gals Podcast.
Yeah. We'll do a whole video of us shaving the rest of our minge hair that's left after the laser.
Very, very small amount. Just
very small.
If there is any lads small listening.
Yeah. Very small hair on our very tight vaginas.
But you got to tune into X Girls to see those pictures.
Yes.
And
we
tutorials.
Will be putting up that tutorial on X Girls. Actually, I am going to be putting up a video. It's a long ass video. We did a little mini video podcast,
yeah, for our triple X Gals. So girls, listen, if you're still here listening with us, remember this week we are going on tour. Tickets will be out on sale. Look on our Instagram, that'll give you all the info. If not, we'll update you next week on how many tickets are left. So we will talk to you next week, and yes, we will talk to you next week.
Yes.
Bye girlies.
Bye girls. I got Jenny and Lindsay in this bitch, girl. Make your move, your hips, what's sipping gin, girl. Bounce your tits like it's a jig.